The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday afternoon, final hour for us, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Big story of the day, just a couple minutes away. We'll get back into the Falcons fallout from New Orleans, looking ahead to this weekend in Denver as well. Brandon Adams going to join us at 1:20, talk some Georgia Bulldogs football with him. And then we'll get to the AMA at 1:40. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. All that coming up, final hour of the show.
This is one of my partners just texted me. He said, how is it that you and Andy have this one perspective? And then the guys, he said, where's Bo Demet? I said, they're behind the glass. And he was like, they actually believe that they – what makes them believe that they could compete in it, but y'all not?
I don't know.
Well, either. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I really am not sure. Because my brother is on the other side of the glass, too, I guess.
Right.
Because he's texting me during the break talking about, like, no, like, you could do badminton. Like, no, I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
That's what I'm like.
This isn't, like, some secret reveal. I don't have some badminton past
right.
or some prodigy.
Right.
Never played that since high school gym class. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't, I mean, I was blessed enough to play at a high level of sports. But I'm not even, I don't even, like, think, even if I was in my peak of my athleticism and all those different things, strength, speed, all those things, I could compete.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think you probably are where you are because you did at a high level and you saw what it took.
Like, I can long jump, but it would be embarrassing.
Right, it wouldn't be Olympic level.
I can high jump, but it wouldn't be nowhere
right,
near.
They would
start at my height.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean? They'd be
right.
starting
but I think,
at my height.
I think your perspective is probably shaped by the fact that you actually did go to a certain level and saw what it took and saw people that were incredible that didn't make it
right.
and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I just don't have that much
I can be honest
faith
why
in my
I
own
think.
Ability to do anything athletically.
It's familiarity with the obscure sports combined with, like, again, if you've ever watched team handball.
What the?
Randy, these goalies get scored on like 40 times. They make 2 saves a game, maybe.
Yeah.
I can make 2.
Maybe.
What makes you
maybe
think you can make 2?
I can. If you got to watch it, man. Like, they just happen to guess right and the ball hits them. Like, it's not all of them.
So, So, the other thing for me is, like, and maybe this is a personal thing I should work on. I'm not calling anyone a bad person. But, like, I just feel like I would be being a jerk to say that somebody who's an Olympic level anything is, like, lucky or fluky or, you know what I mean? Like, that guy's worked super hard to get to that point.
Is it that the whole ray gun thing, though?
Well, no. She was a scam artist and, like, got, and it was a joke.
Number one ranked in the world.
Like, you're talking about people that actually worked at it and, like, I don't know. Like, I just assume they're probably pretty good. But I could be wrong.
I just think Olympic archery is not archery.
It's very, I don't know how often in my mind do I watch something athletic and I'm like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know I can't because I played a lot of sports. And I was fine. Like, at a high school level, I was okay. Not that great. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, you know, as you sort of progress up the ladder, I just remember when a friend of ours from high school, who was a pretty good college football player, got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. And one of my best buddies was, like, the fastest guy we grew up with. It was incredibly fast. They're really good friends. They raced. And it was hilarious.
Right.
Like, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not, I mean, the guy, he played, whatever, not really, didn't really play much, but he made it to the NFL. This is, like, the fastest guy we grew up playing soccer with, was the fastest guy in our conference when we played
right.
in high school, all that kind of stuff. He did the last 20 yards backwards because he was so much faster than him. It was like, come on! And that guy wasn't even an Olympic sprinter. He was just a but
that's
better
all I'm
athlete.
Saying. It's like could I high jump? Because it's one thing to say you can do something at a certain level, but I would be embarrassed on that level. Of, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know exactly.
I can run a 100 meters.
I know exactly.
But I've been looking at the back of it. Everybody be finished by the time I get to the 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I mean, that don't sound like fun.
And the other thing, too, is, like, especially now, yes, like, we're all 40.
Now, you're talking about right now. Right now, you can compete on the –
a lot of goalies' primes are in their late 30s. I mean, look at Goose.
We got to stop asking. Let's stop. Let's get to the big story. Because he's not kidding.
He is not kidding. That's the bad thing about it.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
They make no saves.
Really early was the lack of execution. You know, it was like you get the ball, you get that first third down. What a great execution by Ray on that first third down going across the middle. Great throw by Kurt. And then we come back with our screen and go play. And if we hit that thing, you're rolling on offense. We're not talking the same way. We're not talking about the slow start. We're not talking about the execution like the Seattle game. It's a little bit different, but we didn't. So it is an execution thing like you're talking about, but you missed the key things like that third down. Mm-hmm. Which keeps that drive going, and who knows what happens after that, and you're ready to go.
He's correct. Mm-hmm. He's correct. It would have been a big play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The slow start wouldn't have been as slow.
Exactly.
I don't know. But who knows? Maybe that sets the whole momentum of the whole game. Like
right.
Young Lake, who still missed three field goals,
yep,
it probably still would have done that. Yep. Maybe not. Who knows?
But would he have been feeling that momentum of
maybe
the big play? I don't know.
Nothing gets Young Way going like a Ray McLeod screen.
Nothing
pass
at all. I don't know, man. But he did miss the kick. It is what it is. They didn't block
and
properly.
And they did miss that play.
These things
happen.
That's always one thing when you go back and you look at it, especially from a perspective of a player. Sometimes you sit back and like, damn.
Dang it. This close.
This damn close.
We were this close.
This close from hitting that and, you know, going on.
But isn't that
on
the league, though?
But that is football.
That's the league.
That's football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It comes down three or four plays a game. We understand all that. But, no, they got to get it fixed. They got to get it fixed quick, fast, and in a hurry. And then tomorrow, you know, I mean, they're already on Denver. So, I mean, I ain't worried about that. But they got to go ahead and put that behind it and get ready because it ain't getting no easier this week. All right? Do I think that Denver's a better team than the Saints? I damn sure do. Like, overall team, I think Denver's better than the Saints.
Certainly.
Yeah. And you're playing them in their house.
Yeah.
You know, and you're playing them in those elements or whatever. And a lot of times I do – I mean, I know people – I know my man Ryan Clark had that issue up there, the altitude and all those different things. When you kick their ass, like I've done this so many times, you ain't tired. You don't worry about no damn altitude when you're beating the hell out of them and stuff like that. So, I mean –
When does that show up? Like,
I played in Denver 3 years with San Diego, mm-hmm, twice with Miami, and I think played one time with the Rams. And the only time I was ever exhausted was the second time I went up there, Buck, and we started the game in no damn huddle. We started the game in no huddle, and it was all, like, deep routes. And so I was gassed. After we didn't get no first down, so I ran like three straight nine routes.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate to do this because we just made fun of Abe and Bo for doing this. I got altitude sickness in Denver.
I mean, you told me.
Running on the treadmill.
I remember you told me this. I forgot.
Why am I so tired? Yeah, let me power through this. And I got very sick. It was very stupid.
I remember you told me.
But here's the thing about Denver, and here's why I think Denver is better than the team that you just played, and better than quite a few teams that you played. They legitimately have a top five defense in the NFL. Like, they have a defense that can win them games, and they've been better at putting Bo Nix in positions to help them not lose games as well. Mm-hmm. Like, Bo Nix shouldn't go out there and tear you up. Like, a lot of dink and dunk, a lot of high percentage stuff. Mm-hmm. He is pretty good at escaping pressure.
He's athletic as hell.
There's no pressure, so don't have to worry about that.
I like that.
You know
what I
mean?
I like how he did
like
that.
He's actually kind of better on the run than he is in the pocket.
He has more. He's
advantage Falcons.
He has a nice. He's a very nice athlete. Man.
Yeah,
he really, really is. I think the biggest thing for them has been what Sean Payton has done as far as simplifying things for him and allowing him to use that athleticism and things like that. But yeah, this is about what the Falcons do. The Falcons have got, because he is still a young quarterback. That's one. He's still a young quarterback. And, you know, he ain't all the way there yet. So maybe you can find some ways to you got the box score from last week?
Which game?
Their game last week. Because I was curious, did Kansas City get any pressure or anything on them? Because they did block the kick, and it set it up perfectly and everything like that.
But again, that defense, but that just defense so was so good. They held them to 16 points.
Yeah, so good. I know he threw two touchdowns last week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's still a young, developing quarterback. But they got, and you know how it is. You know how Sean Payton
feels about Kansas City got him four times.
Okay. And you know why Sean Payton feels about the Falcons.
Yeah.
And how the Falcons feel about Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's still looking at it from a standpoint of his personal hatred towards his
That's
team.
That's a great point.
That ain't going nowhere.
Don't lose to the Saints and Sean Payton in back-to-back weeks.
Ooh.
Like the Saints, who just fired their coach and had lost seven games in a row.
Right.
Followed by Sean Payton.
Ooh.
Got it. Oh, they got him twice.
Okay.
They got him twice. Patrick Mahomes got sacked four times. Bo Nix got sacked two times. 22 for 30, 215, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He's become very efficient. Very efficient passer.
Yeah, and Sean not acting too much.
Yep.
So, I mean, who would have thought he's playing better than the number one overall pick?
Like, he's playing better than, except for Jaden. Except for Jaden, he's playing better than all those guys. All right, we'll come back. Brandon Adams is going to join us. He's the host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. Get his thoughts on what took place on Saturday in Mississippi. Start looking ahead to Saturday night against Tennessee and Athens as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. I was wondering if it would be a one and done since BA debuted it last week, right?
Yep.
Then, obviously. But no. He's not blaming the song for the loss. I think that's very mature. We'll get to the AMA in about 20 minutes from right now. Phone lines will be open. Call us up. Ask us anything. Brandon Adams joins the show at 1:20 on Tuesday as host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. B.A., how are you?
Me.
Yeah, it's not Riley Green's fault. Now, it might be Luke Bryan's fault because Luke Bryan was there, and some Georgia fans were blaming him for bringing UGA bad luck. But you can't blame Riley Green, I don't think.
No, I'll probably start a few different places
the five big guys that are in front of
the home. Around the country musicians, that's right.
Yeah, blame whoever you want. I want to know this because, look, Ole Miss is good. We knew Ole Miss was good. They played incredibly well on Saturday, certainly played better than Georgia did. What part of it surprised you? Like, what part of the, I don't know, in-game examples, maybe big picture, like, what part of what happened on Saturday in Mississippi surprised you?
Well, a little bit of a continuation of what has been in that, man, this offensive line is just so far from what they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what that's all about. I mean, in some cases it seems it's injury-related, not just the right guard with Micah Morris and Tate Rallage, but also the fact that Ernest Green, the left tackle, seems to be dealing with something too that Kirby Smart revealed yesterday. So some of this is injury related. It seems like there's some weird communication stuff still going on where, I mean, when you have like these little cut ups that everybody's showing of nobody from Georgia blocking somebody, I mean, to me, that speaks to, it has to be a communication thing of they were just expecting to run the wrong play because you don't have five guys with on the same play, and it seems like there were at least a couple of instances Saturday where that happened. So, I mean, you know, or just maybe, you know, maybe just overrated to begin the year. But one way or another, that to me is the biggest story here, is this Georgia offensive line really got roughed up by a very good Ole Miss defensive front, but still that was to a degree that was, I think, pretty surprising to me and probably a lot of Georgia fans, too.
What about the not necessarily mechanics or anything I'm asking you about, but the regression of the quarterback? How much of the O-line do you think that is, B.A.?
Well, it has to have some part of that. But I also think, I mean, listen, Georgia would have a better offensive line if they used some of the NIL money they're paying Carson Beck to pay other offensive linemen, perhaps. So, I mean, you know, I don't mean to be crass, but, I mean, you know, I can't, like, just completely forgive Carson and say, well, if the offensive line would be better, you know, Carson would be fine. I'm sure the OL's play has had some impact on Carson. But Carson was, and we spent all summer on the show talking about this, he was the face of this Georgia team in the offseason, a more quarterback-driven team than we'd ever seen Georgia be before. I think we definitely said that. We've, you know, kind of gotten together in the past before this season began. And so I can't excuse all of Carson's issues away just simply because of offensive line or whatever else. He still has his own share of the responsibility for this.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's thrown interceptions on first and 10 from clean pockets. I mean, I think what happened on Saturday, a lot of what happened on Saturday was the offensive line not protecting him and making his life hard. But, yeah, I mean, over the course of the season, I don't know. I think there's more to it than that. What does tonight's ranking mean as far as can you read into maybe the committee giving Georgia and Georgia fans a little bit of a hint as far as how they feel about them? Like, how are you viewing whatever Georgia's ranking comes out as tonight?
Well, I am interested in it. Now, I don't know that it's going to be all that definitive about what it might be towards the end because this committee just sort of changes its mind and just sort of does what it wants to do week to week and doesn't really offer much of an explanation for why they do it. But I do think that what we're going to find out is over the course of time, and obviously this comes from a self-serving place because it would benefit Georgia, but for all the talk of, you know, valuing who teams play and tough schedules and things like that and that being an important criteria, we're about to see how true that really is, because for the most part, what the committee really has a history of doing is counting losses. And the no-loss teams get the benefit, the one-loss teams are sort of next in line, and the two-loss teams never really get the consideration, even if they lost two games because they were playing a much more difficult schedule. Well, Georgia is a team that if, you know, let's say it beats Tennessee on Saturday, and it beats UMass, and it beats Georgia Tech, and it's 10-2. I mean, that's not the season that Georgia fans wanted to have, but when you see what Georgia has done to this point in time, they've played more ranked teams away from home than they played home games. I mean, when you realize the actual heft of the Georgia schedule, you know, 10-2 in a roundabout way probably could be defined as a success. And when you've got teams like Indiana and Penn State and Texas, by the way, who haven't beaten a ranked team all year long, at least on this past week's CFP Top 25, then I do believe it means that Georgia ought to get additional consideration. I believe they probably will, but I don't fully trust the committee to do the right thing on this because they don't really have a history of doing what I would describe as the right thing.
B.A., what did you think about the – and it's funny. It was funny to me. I was like, damn, that's just not a bad look. But your thought process and some of the dog fans that call your show about the young man dancing after the game on the field with the Ole Miss, with the Ole Miss friend or whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was really bad, and I was kind of glad that Kirby Smart sort of gave the stern rebuke to that he did. Now, at the same time, I mean, you know, I forgive guys for driving too fast. Some will forgive this guy for, you know, dancing on, I mean, like, you know, it's still a young kid learning how to grow up, I guess. And so, you know, I don't necessarily want to condemn him necessarily, but I mean, and you know the locker room better than I do, Randy. You know, it's not good for locker room chemistry to have this guy who didn't play out there dancing around and what is kind of a dangerous situation in the game. Those field storms are wild, and that one on Saturday night was especially wild. And this guy's out there having the time of his life while the other guys are putting their, you know, during the game, putting their, you know, health on the line, trying to help their team win. I mean, I got to imagine there's probably some upset people in that locker room on the Georgia, you know, roster, and that's, I believe, why Kirby Smart spoke as harshly about it as he did.
What about Carson Beck smiling on the sideline? You care about that?
So So total honesty, knee jerk. I kind of don't love it. I mean, knee jerk. It kind of sort of feels like some of the body language stuff I've had an issue with on him. But at the same time, I mean, I'm sure there's probably, you know, small clips of me or video of me that could maybe not, you know, be portrayed the way I'd want it to be. I'm sure a lot of people could say that. And, you know, and in a roundabout way, you know, I guess I want to try to extend some generosity and some grace there of, you know, it's like he got caught smiling. You know, it could just be that's the way the video made it seem. Sometimes short videos are somewhat misleading. I know the guy that he was talking to, Jaden Rashada, Rashada's father, has kind of come out and sort of defended, you know, that exchange a little bit. And, you know, maybe that's the fair reading of that of, you know, hey, you know, you can't necessarily punish a guy from smiling, but it obviously goes along with what has not been a great body language year for Carson Beck, probably, if we're being honest.
What you think about this week, NBA? I mean, Tennessee, I mean, their defense line is damn near just as good, maybe better, or equal to what they just came off. And this team can run the football better than Ole Miss did. So what do you think as far as the Dogs going into Saturday?
Yeah, so I think two things. Thing number one, as you said, this is a Tennessee team that is not – for people that don't watch the games closely – this is not like 2022 Tennessee where they're scoring 50 points a game, but they're allowing 55 points per game. This is a team that's a little bit more about defense and running game than it's ever been for Josh Heupel before. And for Nico, who got all the attention as the sort of NIL quarterback, he's really, even when he's healthy, which we're going to see if he is on Saturday night, he really hasn't having that great of a year. So this is definitely a little bit of a different kind of Tennessee team. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Which is, and we always do this, I mean, Georgia fans are, do this, probably every college football fan does this. The only thing that Georgia fans can remember right now is how badly Georgia played against Ole Miss. And I get it. I mean, it was not good. And, Georgia fans have a kind of what I would say is a pretty negative view on things at the moment. But a team that beat Clemson 34-3 can absolutely beat Tennessee at home on Saturday. And a team that handled Texas on the road can absolutely beat, Tennessee at home on Saturday. And if Georgia does beat Tennessee at home on Saturday, which, by the way, they're favored to do, they're like 9.5-point favorites. If Georgia does what it's expected to do and beat Tennessee on Saturday, then I do think it stabilizes this conversation. I don't know how much of this y'all are getting, but, for me on my show, which is obviously, Georgia-centric, right, Georgia saturation, Georgia fans are pretty upset right now. But yeah. If you can beat Tennessee, I think it's a much more calm conversation. And Georgia's kind of right back with a lot of its end-of-season goals still intact.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. I also think like that the anger is understandable given the way that they got beat on Saturday. Imagine what the anger would be if it was still a 14 playoff. Because if it was still a 14 playoff, that's it. Like that does you in historically. With the 12-team playoff, now it sort of seems like the two-loss games are the ones that people are treating as playoff games. Is that how, I mean, obviously, I think we are. Maybe, I don't know, you can tell me if you are. Do you think they look at it this way on Saturday as well?
Well, Kirby has said that they're not doing that, although Lane Kiffin last week said when they lost to LSU, what Kiffin said in his post-game press conference after beating Georgia was he told his team, congratulations, you're in the playoff. Every game now for the rest of the year is essentially a playoff game. And so Kirby has said that they're taking a different tack in terms of not trying to treat it like it's an elimination game, things like that. Although we would all sit here and say, boy, it certainly has the look of being that. And the interesting thing about that, too, is that over the course of years, Georgia may have been the team hurt by the 14 playoff as much as anybody because, they had like 2018 and some years like that where they probably finished number five, could have perhaps been
last year.
In. Yeah, last year's another example of that, too. That's a really good example of that, too. So, if the 12-team playoff does work to Georgia's benefit this year, there's probably, a certain poetic justice to that because, they were kind of the first team left out of the 14 playoff a handful of times, it seems like.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because I know Saturday didn't go the way that Georgia wanted it to, and it was fairly lopsided in the end. Taking that in context and thinking about the totality of the games that they've played, do you feel like they're getting better? Like, do you feel like it's a team that's improving from the beginning of the season till now?
Not really. I mean, I feel like it's a team that has sporadically played really well for different points of the year, but it's not happening based on a very sensible arc. It's not like they're slowly but surely getting better. They were sporadically very good against Texas. They were really good in the second half against Clemson. And, I mean, like right now, they're not doing anything well offensively. They're not throwing it. They're not running it. They're not really blocking it. Like, I mean, they're not really doing anything well offensively. So, at least the last couple of weeks, they haven't. So, that kind of, injures any chance of, boy, they're just showing improvement. I mean, they really are not showing sort of week-to-week improvement that started in September and continues into November. But off and on, they have been pretty stellar at times. And so, that potential, of course, still remains.
B.A., we appreciate it, as always. Thank you.
Yeah, fun to be with you guys.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Again, follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. And that, we watch all the games, watch them closely, sometimes watch them twice, watch the highlights, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's just not a lot of parts of it that you look at and it's like, oh yeah, all right, that looked like this at the beginning of the season, and now it looks better. Mm-mm. This is look. It's like a lot of it, you know, obviously Saturday, a lot of it looked worse. But
yeah, I mean,
it's just it's weird for a team as talented as they are and as well coached as they are.
Maybe, but I understand when we talk about Georgia, one of the best. Maybe the talent just ain't where it is.
Yeah,
like, you can talk about five stars and all that other stuff because that's what a lot of people want to base as, oh, that's talent.
Yeah,
whatever. But maybe they just ain't playing. Maybe they just ain't that way. This way ain't it right there.
Yeah, it might not be. It might not be because flashes happen. Like, you know, there's enough talent for there to be flashes. But at some point, it's got to turn into consistency. That's what the best teams have.
They haven't been consistent all year.
They haven't. Yeah. Like, completely inconsistent all season long. And, well, it's a lot of games, man. Maybe that's just who they are. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final hour of the midday show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. The AMA brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Full phone lines, so we'll get out there and start with Mason in Barnesville. Hey, Mason.
What's up, boys? I ain't been able to listen today or yesterday, so... I hate to beat a dead horse, but what happened with the Georgia game? That's my first question.
Dang, I guess we'll just answer the first one. Sorry, Mason.
I like Mason. I'm glad his phone messed up. What the hell you mean what happened in the Georgia game? Why weren't you watching?
Well, I think he watched it. I think he just wanted your assessment.
We told you the assessment.
We haven't listened
yet. They got their ass whipped. they got beat down.
Yeah, they got pretty well pushed around.
Yeah, they got beat down.
Lines of scrimmage, among other areas. But he's what he said. He hadn't listened yet.
I know.
He just wanted to know.
Mason.
Yeah, maybe that dead horse woke up.
Yeah,
that's why his phone went out. Why is that a phrase?
I don't know.
I don't want to beat a dead horse.
We already tried to figure that out once.
Who beats a horse? A live horse. Let's beat a live horse real quick. Brad is in Peachtree City. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Quick question, hypothetical. If you were flying out to Vegas on Saturday, would you feel comfortable paying $750 for a ticket to the Eagles at the Sphere?
No. I didn't know that's what it was gonna run yet.
That's how much it costs? $750 a ticket?
Guess so.
I don't pay.
Now they must be performing. It's not just their music.
Yeah, I would never pay $750 to see anybody.
I don't know who I would pay.
Unless James Brown came back to life and he was headlined by Ray Charles.
Yeah.
There's no end. And Rick James had a set. There's no way in hell I'm paying $750.
If Outkast has a reunion tour and makes new music,
that will never get on that spreadsheet.
I can't. Like, as much as I would want to go, like, $750 is just an outrageous amount of money.
Wait.
For something you don't need. Like, I know, you know, memories and experiences and stuff like that. But if I'm spending $750 on something, I got to have something.
I got to go play with them.
Like, or a tool or something.
Yeah, something. I got to I got to get up there.
Or I could drive it.
At least let me play the triangle or something.
Yeah. You know?
Well, go bring it.
No. I mean, I have to own it.
Oh no!
At the end of it.
Like, if I play $750, and again, James Brown came back and Ray and headlined by Rick James, and they just said, "I can play the tambourine for everybody." Said, "I might get $750." I might get $750.
But nah. If we were getting there Saturday, and I don't think me and Randy were going to go see.
No way.
The Eagles for $750.
That money is $50.
I'm sure they'll put on a good show, though. Ozzy is in Decatur. Hey, Ozzy.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Question for each of you. Randy, was there one prospect that you just, like, were super right about for the Falcons? Watching Jared Verse last night, I really wanted him in a Falcons uniform.
Very good.
That one was tough to see.
Yeah.
Andy, I ran into a certain someone at this Falcons-Saints game in New Orleans, and I just, man, I am so appreciative that they are exactly who they are on and off the air. Have you ever run into somebody that just has their same personality the whole way through? Thanks for the call. Love your show.
Yeah, thanks, Ozzy. That's what you want, right? You want to meet people in real life that aren't faking it.
Yes,
right?
Always.
Everybody that I know from this radio station is like that, which is great. I don't know who he met at the game.
I'm trying to think. Prospect that I got right. I mean, I called the A.J. Terrell draft pick. And
you said they would take him before they took him.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, I didn't know what to expect from when they drafted Deion Jones. But I knew he's a good player at LSU. But I didn't know how they were going to be, because I didn't think he was big enough to play in the middle. I thought he could play outside will linebacker really good. But I think I was pretty close on that one.
That also, the question gives me an opportunity to say shout out to and rest in peace to a friend of mine, Brian Wheeler,
mm-hmm.
who is the former play-by-play announcer for the Portland Trail Blazers. My opinion, one of the all-time greatest play-by-play guys in NBA history. He passed away over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Nicest, literally, like, and a lot of people are really nice. Literally the nicest person I ever met in this business.
Is that the guy that came back here that we met? Who was that guy? The voice of, was it Portland?
Wow, we probably the guy that took over for him.
Yeah.
When Wheels had to step
down.
That's
the same guy.
Yeah, not the same guy.
But you know what guy I'm talking about, right?
Abe's buddy. Travis came. Younger guy.
Travis came after him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wheels was having some health issues and had to step back. But when I went to Portland and was doing radio there, he embraced me and our show and was just as nice and as warm and helpful as someone could be. And he passed away over the weekend.
Sorry really to hear sucks. That, brother.
He was really, really great dude and just an incredible, incredible broadcaster. Mike is in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Hi there, fellas. So when Georgia and the Falcons lose, I just drink more beer. Long story short, my wife on a work vacation and I got the house to myself, so I'm going to drink some beer today. But what are some things that your wives do that you don't like to do with them? Mine's a go to Sam's. She got an SUV. I drive a sedan. She will buy big towels, tissue, and fill my car up.
Right.
And the same for the mall. I want to just buy what I want and eat and leave the mall. She touch everything in me. I don't want to do it. But anyway, I hang up and listen to y'all.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. First of all, I really like when people pronounce beer like that. Like the way he said it.
My thing
is the coolest way to say
it. My thing is, like, Georgia has to lose for you to drink more?
Well, just, yeah. It's going to increase the consumption.
Oh, okay. All right.
Beer. It's a cool way to say it.
All right.
I don't like to go to IKEA.
I refuse to ever in life again.
Yeah.
And I have kept that promise to myself for a few years now after that last incident we had.
Yeah.
I will never go to that place again.
Yeah, and she knows that now, too, so she'll kind of just go. Like, the other day, I don't remember when it was, she was like, hey, I went to IKEA today. And I was like, that's great.
I will never.
Because that means I didn't.
Yep, I'll never go to IKEA. Place again.
It's just the worst.
Does she go even when she's not looking for a piece of furniture?
Well,
my wife will.
Yeah, she was just browsing.
I thought you went to IKEA knowing you're looking for, like, a desk, and you go find you a desk. Because I don't mind going if I'm looking for, like, a couch or something.
I don't want nothing. I don't
know that people went there to do with just, that place. Not to, just to look.
I think it's, like, one of those things. It's like, there's a couple things I may need, and then you get inspired.
From IKEA?
Yeah, look, I don't know.
Dude,
feeling sexy. I think I might refuse, put together
a bookshelf. I refuse to ever go to that place for her.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not a fun place.
And it's crazy because I went Saturday morning, because usually I'll take Samson to tutor, but he'd have tutor, but they had, like, some special football practice, Andy. And I'm like, I'm about to go take him. She's like, well, what are you going to do after? Because it was 2 hours from 9 to 11. I said, I'm just going to ride around and maybe pick up something. I want to go. I was like, hold on. No, there's a reason why I don't, you know. And so Andy, I was like, before we get in this car, this is my wife I'm talking to. Don't ask her nothing. I'm not stopping nowhere. I don't care who has a 40% sell off. I'm going here, getting this, and then I'll come back. That lasted all about 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Could you go over there real quick?
I've been meaning to.
Can you go over there real quick?
Yeah.
Just 1 second, babe. I promise you. I'll be just 5 minutes, babe. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog. Got me again.
Yep.
Never again.
That happens. Mo is in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Hey, Andy, we'll make it quick because I know the phone lines are choppy. Hey, so outside of today, this for both of y'all, though, outside of today, when was the last time you actually hurt yourself? Because, boy, I was hollering over here thinking about Randy landing that backyard.
Dude,
thank you, Mo.
It hurt, too. That's the last time I hurt myself. Because usually I'm very cautious. And I was just like, God dog it. I mean, my feet just slipped. I was out because I had no shoes on, and foot just slipped and just did the splits and hit that side.
We just don't fall very much anymore, you know?
Yeah,
like, when you're younger, you fall quite frequently when you're a kid. And when you're a grown-up, you really rarely fall.
Mm.
And, boy, that ground, I feel like it's gotten further away and a lot harder.
It just hurt.
I got hurt a couple weekends ago opening up my wife's car when she had all that stuff in there from Home Depot. Almost chopped my foot off with the ankle. I think I finally I'm still a little bit of a scar.
It's still a little bit.
Yeah, I thought I lost a ligament or something, but we're all right. We bounced back. Let's get the takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day, baby, rabbit shoot.
Both said German are big with German-like meat sticks.
He did. He also referred to it as jolly old Germany.
Jolly old Germany.
I only heard jolly old England.
And Andy made my skin crawl with the Twinsy comment.
Yeah. Well, we dressed the same today. So.
No, we did not.
No, we did.
No, we didn't.
We're one mind.
My sweatshirt has a black drawstring.
Mine's the white one.
Yeah.
That's kind of perfect. I didn't even realize that. Perfect. Abe thinks he could be an Olympic handball player. Like, genuinely thinks he's
just the goalie. Just the goalie.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Just the goalie.
Doesn't matter.
Your weekly PSA for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Choose wisely, or you might end up in a Jenny situation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Randy, not a fan of twinning, and you've got to earn the right to shower.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Just shower every day. And that goes for all you guys. And you kids, too. Boy, is it hard to get kids to take baths every day.
Yeah, they don't care.
I took one yesterday. I know. And I know. Now it's today.
Oh, boy. You just wait till they
you
get
older. You
just
played a whole softball game, and you want to go get in your bed without showering.
Yes. No, yes. You can't do that. You've been out in the backyard for 4 hours barefoot.
You just wait till you get older.
Clean yourself off.
Eventually, little girls, they'll start giving into it. But them damn boys.
Yeah, man.
Woo,
they both put up a real fuss. Everything's like, we built this bathtub just for you guys. They don't even get in it. All right. We'll see what Dukes and Bill have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.